Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation about Second Sight paranormal investigations and forensic services with Erica Abusarhaney and Shannon Pringle. When you go out to do a paranormal investigation, do you ever go to a place just because you've heard it was really haunted and you want to go check it out? Or do you even have time to do that sort of thing?
Well, a case that I hate to talk about, but I will say that, I think Shannon was not on the team at this time, because she probably would have talked some sense in us.
I know where you're going with this.
Yes, for sure. So I had heard that there was a place called The Bluffs. It's in Scenic Highway, a beautiful location on the cliffs. It's on the water, probably predominantly very expensive to live over there. And I had heard that, there had been some ritualistic stuff, some murders, some crime. And of course, that forensic Erica wanted to go over there in those woods to investigate, to see, if there were any spirits there. Well, the night before we're supposed to investigate, I'm having all these nightmares. People are chasing me, trying to kill me. But I'm assuming, hey, this is just a part of my job, Nobody else on the team tells me they're having the same nightmares until after the fact. So we go out there to this location. We investigate in the daytime, the chimney. One of the guys, Richard Johnson, who was on my team at the time, and Brian Watley, they're talking, Reebok, they're talking to this spirit that's telling Richard, I want you. I mean, it says some evil stuff, let me tell you. We don't get all this until later when we listen to the EVPs and whatnot. Next day, we go out there to the bluffs where all the homicide, suicide, train wrecks, plane crashes, bodies that have drowned. I mean, probably the homicide rate at the location, the suicide rate is probably in the 10s, 15s or so. Very prominent death spot and havoc wreaks. I mean, it becomes a nightmare after nightmare for everybody on the team. If Shannon was there, she would have told us.
Shannon and her voice of reason. What are we doing?
Absolutely.
Shannon, do you have a location that you have gone to that you particularly were drawn to? Once you got in there, it was like, this is way more interesting than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I am kind of impressed with Fort Morgan. We do a tour there, Fort Morgan, Alabama, usually in the late summer, early fall, sometimes longer, sometimes shorter. And every time I've been there, I've experienced something, whether it's been touching or catching something on camera, or hearing something or seeing something out of the corner of my eye. I don't think I've been there yet that there hasn't been at least one small interaction of some sort. And I think that's just the energy and the history of that place.
And tell me a little about Fort Morgan, because that's in Alabama, right? Gulf Shores?
Yes.
And it was a Civil War fort?
Yeah, it was built between 1819 and 1834. And of course, it was named after General Daniel Morgan. And the whole point of it was to serve as part of the coastal defense system. So it was intended to protect the city of Mobile and the entrance to Mobile Bay. It was their first line of defense. So, of course, they saw action during the Civil War. And then in 1861, Alabama seceded from the Union. Fort Morgan fell into Confederate hands. And of course, in 1864, it played a significant role in the Battle of Mobile Bay. That was the battle where David Farragut quoted, damn the torpedoes,
damn the torpedoes,
full speed ahead. Yeah, as he led the Union fleet into the bay. The Union ultimately won, and that secured a crucial victory in the Gulf of Mexico. But then after the Civil War, Fort Morgan remained an active military installation. And then during the Spanish-American War in 1898, it served as a training facility for the Alabama troops, but it didn't see any direct combat. And then they tried to do some updates early 20th century. They installed new weaponry, upgrades to the infrastructure, and during World War One, it was again a training ground for the soldiers. And then World War Two came around, it was reactivated for coastal defense. And it was heavily fortified. Military personnel were stationed there to guard against the enemy, and particularly the German U-boats that were operating in the Gulf of Mexico. Since then, it was kind of decommissioned. It was turned over to the Alabama State Park System, and now it's a tourist attraction, but it's superbly haunted. It's got great history. They're continuously preserving and restoring different areas of it. There's exhibits, guided tours, different educational programs, and it's a pretty fascinating place. And if you haven't done one of the tours, I know Eric can probably fill you in on when the next ghost tours will be, but they're a great opportunity to see it at nighttime, which...
Because they wouldn't normally be open to just anybody in the evenings.
That's correct.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, Erica, when you go to a place like Fort Morgan, is that kind of for you just a bombardment? Or are you able to focus in and it's... And have you trained yourself to where it's not a bombardment? Because it just seems like there'd be so much activity for someone like you. That would be hard.
I think the first time I went to Fort Morgan, I mean, this was the first time I had, it was the first time meeting Richard Johnson, who was on our team, who now has his own team called EVP. And when I went, I was overwhelmed. I remember just seeing soldiers sitting on the top of the fort, just looking at me like, what are you doing here? And it was so cool. Seeing a ghost dog run in the court. We went to this area in the way back, and I had just all these shadow figures kind of walking up to me, whispering to me. But the thing that got me the most was the African-Americans. And I'm thinking, hey, what do y'all do here? You know, I'm African-American. Hey, what's up? And they started to tell me about building the structure, building with the bricks and, you know, basically creating it. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I'm walking in history. Fast forward many years later, you know, we are able to do tours there. And, you know, each time I walk through, as Shannon says, you get a different interaction with the spirits there. There are ladies there. There are soldiers there. There's a dog there. But it's a very active location. I walk around in the dark when I can't find my flashlight, freaking out when I feel things touching my face. And I'm like, guys, leave me alone. It's very haunted.
I had stumbled upon Fort Morgan. I live in Kansas, so I wasn't familiar with Fort Morgan. And I was trying to find information about it and people who've investigated it, which is how I ended up finding you guys. And I thought it would be interesting to go there sometime. It looks so fascinating. So one thing, not only is it Second Sight Paranormal Investigations and Forensic Services, but you also do tour, or I don't know, what do I want to, like a ghost hunt that they can go with you, or a investigation that people can go with you?
Yes, we've basically, you know, because a lot of people, when I first created Second Sight Paranormal, so many of my friends and the team's friends, they wanted to kind of join the team, and everybody was getting me like, hey, we got enough on the team. So I basically said, well, how can we let them tag along and investigate? But, you know, there's security, there's liability, there's insurance, mm-hmm. there's all these things that, you know, if something happens, you're responsible. So we set it up to kind of help with team members for travel, you know, in different things that we wanted to do, like going to the Myrtles was one thing that we were able to, you know, basically pay for that because of some of the investigations that we did. So we set up public investigations. Hey, come out. Similar to what I was doing in, you know, 2010 and in 2011 and 12. I would travel as a paranormal investigator/medium at different events. And, you know, there would be paracelebs and we would help, you know, the public with investigations. So I kind of brought that same concept you know, and I did Waverly and different places. I brought that same concept to Pensacola, doing the lighthouse and doing the little theater. And then we just kind of ventured over to Fort Morgan and did that. And we have tons of people that come out every year that love doing it. It's the only opportunity really for them to investigate it till midnight, you know?
Right, because I had a hard time finding someone who had been there because I was Googling it. I want to talk to somebody who's been there. Is it really that haunted? And now I have talked to you guys, and it is really that haunted.
It is.
When you have people go with you on stuff like that, does that kind of help finance the organization and allow you to do these other investigations to help people privately? And even with what you do, Erica, with crime investigation...
It does. It helps us acquire equipment. You know, when we do investigations like that, you have to have a lot of equipment to go around for the attendees. And so it has helped us pay for equipment. It's helped the team members and their travel and different things that are going on in their personal lives. So, yeah, I think kind of merging investigations gives them the opportunity to interact with the public, to teach them things. You know, I can't tell you how many little young kids, very young, come on these investigations with their family. And they've watched, you know, this episode on Josh Gates. You know, they saw the episode and they wanted to do the fort just like Josh Gates did. And, you know, they found out about our investigation and decided that they needed to go to Fort Morgan. So, you know, I think it's a real good opportunity too, because there's so much history there. It is actively haunted. And our investigations give the public that access that they wouldn't really get normally, because they basically have told us kind of like we are their investigation team. And they anybody that calls or interacts with them, they usually send them to us and say, well, you know, you'll have to just join their team's investigation in October. People fly down here to do it. They drive down to do it. It's a pretty cool thing.
Well, especially since they don't have their own program, that would be a lot to manage, really.
It is. And, you know, I'm in real good contact with them. We've done it so many times. They trust us. They know that we understand the mission. They're historical and paranormal, probably 16th on the list. But they allow us to do it. And it's just a mutual respect and understanding. They know that we actually do care and that we're very respectful to the spirits there. So it's a good little team partnership.
Now, you're based out of Pensacola, but do you travel very far to go do other investigations?
We will. You know, it's about funding. You know, sometimes if you know, we have teams like or people in New Jersey that might hear us or see us online and say, hey, my house is haunted. If I can remote it and tell them, yeah, I usually try to attach them to a team that's local. But when we film, you know, we're all trying to find a historic location. So when we film, if the budget allows, you know, we've gone to the Myrtles. We do a lot in Mobile in Alabama because it's close. We recently did Enterprise, Alabama. We will travel. Got food, got money. We will travel. Got hotel. I think everybody is interested in doing another investigation right now.
Absolutely. I'm always up for it.
Do you as a team get together, you know, meet ever so often? It's like, here's on our bucket list.
We had a Christmas party. But we are planning on something. I've been thinking that we needed to kind of get together. We just haven't had the opportunity. So we'll be planning something soon for the team to kind of get together. And I would definitely think that would be a good idea to do the bucket list to see where everybody wants to go.
Be fun. And yeah. Speaking of the videos, y'all have put together some really nice videos. That's a whole nother layer of things to get done. That's a lot of work. Shooting video and editing it and putting it together and all that. Do you have someone on the team who specializes in that?
So we recently just added a girl, and she has some past history experience in video editing and stuff. But we have a partnership with a wonderful guy named Calvo Griffin. And he has Force Photography and Videography, and he pretty much has done a lot of our filming. And then we also work with another gentleman that does all the editing usually for us. And it has been very helpful to have someone on the team. He's kind of a team member, too, that can go around kind of and video all of us. Because when we're in ghost hunting mode, we're not focusing on the camera. We're just focusing right. on whatever we're doing at that moment. And he's been with us so long that he's able to kind of like pan in, and he knows where he needs to be to make sure we try to get some activity caught.
And the videos, you can, it's like I watched it on one of them. I watched one on the Myrtles Plantation. Did I see that on Prime maybe?
I'm trying yes, to, we yeah. do have it on Prime. Okay.
So you can, other people can do exactly what I did and watch those videos on Amazon Prime. Now, I think if you go to the website too, there are some links and you can see part of some of the videos, but they're really well done.
I call them D movies, B and D and C and D and F movies, because we're really just having fun. We didn't have a budget, you know, for big time. You know, Shannon, and even in the Myrtles Plantation, one of the favorite scenes I love is her legal scene, which I would love her to tell you about, because that's my favorite scene of the whole movie. Go ahead, Shannon. Tell them about the legal scene.
Oh, my goodness. Well, the Myrtles, again, was one of the first ones that I had done with the team. And, of course, I'm kind of a behind the scenes type of girl. I love the investigating. I love the researching, but I am not one for jumping right in front of the camera. I'm working on that, but I have to try to forget that the camera is there in order to function. So as long as I can do that, I'm okay. But at the Myrtles, the gentleman that had passed there, I believe his name was David Bradford. He was from Pennsylvania, which was close to my heart, me also having been from Pennsylvania and being an attorney. And I did reach out to him and had the scales in front of us and was trying to get him to interact with the scales or to move any of the items that were on the table. There was, I believe, a law book there and a pen and some of the other things. So trying to reach out to him like attorney to attorney and get him to establish contact that way.
I think that's a great approach, because I'm going to guess that you did have an experience then, because attorney to attorney, he probably wouldn't get that opportunity very often.
Probably not. And that was a great location. There was a lot of different things going on at that location. Everything from slaves to Native Americans to the homeowners to, I believe, was her name Chloe Erica? She was one of the slaves that it was rumored she was there. So there was a lot of spirits, a lot of activity. And it was a really good, really good place to check out.
Well, I want to talk about dead cat.
Oh, my goodness. Not the dead cat. Yes, yeah. Please do.
So I have a cat that I bought from a thrift store. And it's cat skin or cat fur. And it looks like the deceased cat. We use it for trigger object for children. Well,
I wasn't ready for that. Okay.
It's not a real taxidermy cat. It just looks like one. Okay. And it's gorgeous. It's a tabby, an orange tabby. And so Shannon had just wrapped up her interaction with the attorney. And the other team goes in there and we film. The cat's on the table. They're talking. And we walk out, we go eat. And I think, no, we don't walk out. We go into another room. The cat does a whole 360.
It was 180.
Freak out. Yeah. 180, okay. Thank you. See the lawyer in her. Thank you for correcting me. It does a whole 180. And we're all just like, that cat moved. That cat moved. That cat moved. It was crazy.
Yeah, and a couple of the team members would not even sleep in that room that night because they were so freaked out about this cat moving.
Like, Erica, come get your cat. I can't sleep with it. Now, we talked a little bit ago when we first started the episode about what you do, Shannon, and the classes and everything. And what's the store again? And I'll make sure I put a link on the page so people can click on that.
Oh, it's www.mymetaphysical.com.
Okay, so I'll put a link so people can check that out. And they, I'm going to guess, can take a class from you online, maybe?
Yes, we're doing an astrology series right now. It's a 12-week course for astrology. We've done Law of Attraction. We have pendulum workshops, how to use your pendulum, more than 20 ways to use your pendulum. Always coming up with new things as time permits. Of course, like you said, I don't sleep. So.
I don't know when you would.
So always coming up with new things to learn and share, you know, the love of all things metaphysical.
And Erica, I see that you also offer classes.
So I have on my website, coldcasepsychic.com or psychicdiva.com, meditations that you can download. And there is a video class too for psychic development. It's basically me telling you my story and how I learned it, because I think it's easy to read it in a book, but you want to listen to someone who's kind of lived it. And I show or tell people about the steps, the process, the things. And my biggest thing is to not be afraid, because I was so afraid to be psychic because of society, because of my mental health background, in school. And I like to just make it simple, you know, where it needs to be simple, stupid. It doesn't need to be very difficult to understand. Hey, you were born this way. Everybody's born this way. Tap in it. Don't be afraid. Here's how you can use the tools. Here, this is what the tools are. This is what the clairs means. This is how you meditate. This is how you protect yourself. Now go in that world and do that thing that you do and be magic. Make magic.
I think that a lot of people, and some more so than others, obviously, I think you have a gift that a lot of people don't. But I think that a lot of people do have more abilities than they give themselves credit for. That inner voice that we all have that says, don't do that, but you do it anyway. It's like, why didn't I listen to myself? I think that a lot of people, if they took the time to kind of go more within themselves and get to know that inner voice, they might find that they have some abilities that they didn't know. So a course like yours could really help them.
I think too, a course like mine, courses like Shannon, what I love to see is that, you know, the mediumship aspect of my life in teaching and helping, reiterating the fact that we're all born this way. We all have this telepathic communication to our loved ones. That when our loved ones die, they do send you signs. They do. And if you're feeling things, if you're seeing things, if you're hearing that inner voice, put your seatbelt on or, you know, slow down. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not from you. Sometimes it's from that guardian angel or your dad or your husband or your mom who's in heaven that's speaking to you. And, you know, someone like me, someone like yourself, someone that maybe is in a spiritual path or metaphysics, we break those things down to make them common in everyday. So it's not that whole thing, you know, do you really have to take a class or do you just have to really find what's inside of you, like you said, and realize that you already have it. Just own it. Just see it. Just acknowledge it and more will come.
And I think taking a class makes you really focus in on it. You know, we're all such busy people that we're like, yeah, I'll get around to digging into that. But if you are signed up for a class, it kind of motivates you a little bit more.
It does. And accountability is so important.
Yes.
You know, when you pay for, I always say free advice is free and we don't usually take it. But when you usually, I don't know that the gym is a good example because I've bought gym memberships and not gone. But I'll use cake. If you pay for a cake, more than likely you're going to pick it up from the bakery. And I think the same could be said for classes too. Again, it's, you know, the intention, the motivation, and the accountability. I've paid for this. Now I've got to do something with it.
I absolutely agree with all of that. And I think with our classes, ours are done on Zoom so that everyone can see each other and speak to each other. And they're very interactive and very hands-on. So I think that helps with the learning process as well, making it engaging and interactive and just having fun, because we're more apt to learn something when we're having fun while doing it than trying to read something, like Erica said, from a text or you know, like in a boring classroom setting where we can just be more comfortable and we can share with each other and feel more at ease.
So if someone's, wherever they're listening to this, they can just click on the description of this show and I'll have links right there for both of your courses and your websites. And one real quick thing I was going to ask about was, Erica, do you also have Pensacola History and Hauntings?
Yes, Pensacola History and Hauntings.
Also, you are another woman who obviously does not sleep. There's no way you two girls sleep.
I do not. I have PensacolaGhostEvents.com. And with that, you know, I do appreciate my team because, you know, when I come up with these weird things every now and then, whether it be a psychic fair in Alabama or in Milton or in Gulf Breeze or in Pensacola, I love the diverse team that I have. You know, they all are basically sellers of something. We have Miriam that sells a wash where she does bath salts. Valerie, who sells acrylics with her mybeachescapes.com. Dawn sells things also. She's a realtor. So we have all these entrepreneurs that come together. And they help me, thank God, with the Pensacola Ghost Tours. So when, you know, we do a trolley tour, they show up and help out if necessary. When we do Seville, Valerie and different team members, if we have groups of 50 or more or whatever, they're always there to help me. I appreciate them so much. Without them, it would be very difficult to do Fort Morgan. We divide up into groups and, you know, they watch my back. They help me as a team. And I love our team because we're not competitive. We're wanting everybody on the team to win. We promote each other. We're mostly women right now. So
yeah, I noticed that in the photo, there was like maybe one guy or maybe two. But because at first when I glance at the picture, I'm like, that's a female team. And then I'm like, okay, there's a guy.
Yeah.
But
we added some more guys. So we do have more guys, but we have mostly women. And, you know, sometimes, you know, people say, oh, women can't work together. They're going to be catty. No, not these girls. These girls are, you know, Dawn is doing radio. She's on a rock station and she's kicking butt with that. And just everybody on the team brings something different to the table. And you put us all together. It's just phenomenal. I'm waiting for the day that we get the call to make the TV show because, you know, I think we all have something very awesome to offer to, you know, a different paranormal team.
Very much so. And I never really even thought about, like, Shannon, with your background in the law, how that would, how you could use so much of what you know how to do and apply it to investigations. It makes sense now. It's
I was
impressive.
Fortunate that it fits in.
Yeah. You too have made me want to do better and do more.
But not sleep less. Oh, don't sleep less. I don't recommend that part.
I don't know that I want to give up my sleep, but.
So it's good to have an attorney on the team because sometimes you do an investigation in a place like, you know, that city like Footloose where you can't dance. Well, we actually went to a city that had a law that you couldn't do psychic readings. And I basically had already booked a sold out gallery reading at a local restaurant. And I was told by the city who welcomed us to come initially that they didn't want us to do the gallery reading because it was against the law. And that if I did the gallery reading that and took money for it, quote, money, because it was against the law to take money for a psychic reading, that I would go to jail, basically. They told me they weren't going to arrest me, but, you know, hey, the attorney and Shannon was like, here, let me pull the laws. And so this is how an attorney works great in a team. She says, Erica, well, the thing is, the law says if you take money, you are breaking the law. But if you do it for free, honey, there's nothing they can do about it. So I refunded them all their money, did the gallery and said, hold my sweet tea and had a wonderful time. And we made a wonderful episode in Enterprise, Alabama.
Oh, I love that so much. I love that.
Despite the rabid raccoons and wooden stakes.
Yes.
Okay, that's a whole nother story. Rabid raccoons and wooden stakes.
Do tell, Shannon. Do tell.
I was going to say, sounds dangerous.
Yeah. Well, there was parts of that city that were definitely concerning, but one particular area that we were investigating seemed to have a lot of noise, a lot of activity in the back of the room. And my concern, of course, wasn't so much spirit or ghost because I was charging in towards that. But then when I heard the scraping and the scratching, I said, my luck, it's a rabid raccoon. You know, I'm looking for ghosts and I'm going to be attacked by this rabid raccoon. Shortly after that, we were finding these wooden stakes on the floor of the location and outside in the yard. I have no idea what that was about, but they certainly weren't there when we started. So I don't know if...
Okay, that makes it really creepy. This wolf is not here. These wooden stakes have some significance, and I don't know if I want to know.
Yeah, I didn't know if I needed them to protect myself from the raccoons.
Maybe, actually. Now, they can go to the website. It's Second Sight. I wrote it down.
SecondSightParanormal.com.
That's what I was going to say, but as soon as that started to come out, I'm like, I'm going to get that wrong. So they can check that out. I'll put links for everything on the page. But thank you two so much. This was a really interesting conversation. I really, really enjoyed this. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you, too.
And that wraps up our conversation about Second Sight Paranormal and Forensic Services with Erica Busarhaney and Shannon Pringle. For more information on their unique team, visit their website at secondsightparanormal.com. You can visit Shannon's site at mymetaphysical.com and find Erica at coldcasepsychic.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free, or you could go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thanks so much for listening.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.